This message was recorded at Fillmore Baptist Church in Princeton, Louisiana. Our goal is to faithfully preach the Word of God for the salvation of sinners, the strengthening of believers, and the glory of God. Please visit our website at www.fillmorebaptist.org and listen for more information at the conclusion of this message.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, please. We've scheduled a little reception time after the service tonight for the graduates, and so obviously we want everybody to stay for that and congratulate them and fellowship. And also I want to say some things this evening specifically to them, and so I'm inviting the rest of you to stay here and listen in. Okay, now it's going to be for everybody, but I want them to know it's, you know, in a way, it's especially for them. And that's out of these next few verses here that we've come to in chapter 10. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we pray, help us understand the importance of living in your word, abiding in it, abiding in you. Lord, help us understand this is our sanctification. You sanctify us by your truth, and your word is truth. So, Lord, we just pray where we lack the desire to read and study, we pray, Lord, create it in us. Lord, may we desire above all else, above all things that this world has to offer, may we desire to know you more, better. And may we desire to live for your glory. Lord, I ask again tonight that you would enable me to speak the message you would have delivered here, and again, enable all of us to hear and understand and be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay, here is the word to the graduates, and to use the words of the Lord to all who have ears to hear. Verse 38, now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered, said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I want to share just a brief personal testimony. You know, sometimes the Lord, and this is probably usually the case, sometimes the Lord will show us things. And in the beginning, it's like we heard the command or the word to do something, and so it's like we understand that that's what we're supposed to do, but we don't understand what it's all about. I've shared with y'all before about the morning, the early morning that I like to say it is that the Lord pinned me down and I surrendered to the Lord and by His grace. And the prayer that came from my heart and from my mouth at that time was, Lord, from here on out, I just want to do it your way. Now, I use that as an example for what I'm talking about here because I honestly didn't have a clue what that meant. And I'm not saying I understand it all right now, but at that point especially, I was just clueless as to what, you know, surrendering to the Lord, as to what doing things God's way meant. And I had heard, like we were just singing, I had heard about going to heaven rather than going to hell and all of that kind of thing. And that sounded good. I mean, you know, everybody likes that, you know, idea. But as far as really seeking the Lord and really trying to live a life, making a determination to live a life committed to the will of God, I knew that night, okay, that something had to change and I was surrendering up something, but I didn't know what that meant. Here's another example, and this is the one I was going to get to from also from personal experience. Several years ago, I was traveling around quite a bit on the weekends with a group, and we had various things going on because Leslie and I were involved in our church, and then I was singing with this group, and we were just busy, way busy, doing things, and we would sing on the weekends sometimes 2-3 times, you know, at churches it might be miles apart. I remember one time we sang on a Saturday afternoon over in Shreveport, and that night we were at another church in Shreveport. The next morning we were at a church in Wicks, Arkansas, which is about, you know, 100-150 miles from here. And so that's the kind of thing we were doing, and, you know, sometimes further than that. And we were just going and going and going. And it was good. I'm not saying it was wrong, but something changed. You know, the Lord began to take me in a different direction. And this was one of the passages that the Lord used in my own life. And I remember telling a friend of ours that he used to put on this singing all the time, and we were appearing there again. And I told him I was going to quit the group, and you know, that decision had been made. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm just going to spend some time sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, the reason I said that is because, like I say, that the Lord was using this passage. You know, that's what the Lord was saying to me. It's what I felt like the Lord was saying to me. But I didn't understand, honestly. That sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet for a while. But I didn't really understand what that meant. And for a while after that, I quit the group and kind of didn't know what to do with myself for a little while, but and I would ponder that scripture and think, you know, what does it mean to sit at Jesus' feet? Well, let me, before I explain that, what I think is the Lord has showed me is the answer, and I think it's really apparent here. But I'll say this: there are two kinds of Christians, sitters and servers. Now, I'm saying this in regard to our relationship with the Lord. There are, not necessarily one another, but in our relationship directly with Jesus, there are sitters and there are servers. And that's the two groups we have represented in this passage. Verse 38 again tells us that Jesus came to a village. There's a certain woman named Martha. Now, here are Martha and her sister Mary. This is the siblings of these are the siblings of Lazarus. And Martha welcomed him into her house. And I'm going to take these in reverse order here and talk about Martha first, because Luke tells us first about what Mary does, and then he talks about what Martha does. I'm going to take them in reverse order. He does mention Martha first, and he says, Martha welcomed him into her house. And I want to say this. This is one reason I said these two kinds of people, I think, are Christians. I don't think there's anything in this text or anywhere else in the New Testament that suggests that Martha did not know the Lord in a saving relationship. She knew Him. She loved Him. He loved her. He loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. But there are some things here that suggest she didn't benefit from her relationship with the Lord like she could have. Martha was a server. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Matter of fact, let's think about that again. There are two kinds of people, sitters and servers. Two kinds of Christians. Now, if you went to probably any place of employment or employment agency, and you talked to anybody in management, and you said, look, I can send you one of two types of people to work for you. I can send you a sitter, or I can send you a server, a worker. That's a no-brainer. They're going to say, send me the server, send me the worker. If you go into most churches, and I got to be careful here because we criticize a lot for sitting on the pews. There's a right place for that criticism, okay? But we're talking about something a little different tonight. And if you go into most churches, talk to most pastors or just other elders or people who are involved in the church and say, what kind of people are the most valuable to you, the sitters or the servers? What kind would you like to see your church building filled up with? Well, the first thing that's going to come to mind is, well, we don't have a problem getting sitters. You know, they just come, they spectate, and they go home. The servers is what we have a problem getting. But again, what we're talking about here is our relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about this topic and these two groups of people, sitters and servers, in this sense. How we relate directly to the Lord. Martha was a server. Now let me just read over the part about Mary real quick and we'll come back to it. She had a sister, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. See, Martha is complaining here because she's doing all the work. She has welcomed Jesus into her house, and now she's serving, which probably means she's cooking a meal, setting the table, doing what good someone who's given a good hospitality does. She's trying to make sure that everything's done. She wants things to be right for Him. She wants Him to eat good and all those kinds of things and enjoy His meal. So she's working. She's serving the Lord. And she's complaining because Mary is not. Here Martha is working, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus is apparently talking, teaching, and interesting, isn't it, that Luke says Martha was distracted with much serving. My goodness, that seems like there would be some kind of compliment there, doesn't it? Some kind of commendation, commending her. Jesus came into the house and Mary sat down with Jesus, but Martha was a worker. She was serving. She was taking care of Jesus. Not the way Luke says it, though. In fact, he refers to it as being distracted. She was distracted with much serving. Now, pay attention here because who is she serving? She's serving the Lord. Waiting on, and by the way, this is the word deacon, the word serve here. She was distracted with much serving. It's the word from which we get our word deacon. And, she says, Mary has left me to serve alone, to deek alone. She's serving the Lord. As we've mentioned before, the word, it means like a table waiter. So she's working, tending things, making sure the Lord is being served. But Luke refers to it as being distracted. Why does he call that being distracted? And why does he, instead of complimenting her, refer to her this way, that she's being distracted in her service to the Lord? She's a server. Well, to help us answer that, let's go to Mary, back in verse 39. Mary is a sitter. And she, that is Martha, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet. And there's the phrase, and this is where I got it from. It's where I told my friend, and really, I wasn't trying to... It was an honest thing. When he asked me, you know, what are you going to do? What came out of my mouth pretty much automatically was just what the Lord had been, what I believe the Lord had been showing me. I wasn't trying to sound super spiritual. In fact, like I told you, I wasn't even really sure what it meant. But I was just telling him how God was dealing with me. So I said, you know, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus for a while. This is where that phrase came from. This is what Mary was doing. In fact, I mean, she was doing it. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She sat at Jesus' feet. And so, just to get back for a minute to my personal experience, I left that group and went a different way. And like I said, kind of didn't know what to do with myself for a while. But I knew this. I thought, you know, I need, because we've been so busy, I hadn't had the kind of study time that I knew I needed. And so, you know, like I say, I kind of didn't know what to do, didn't know what sitting at Jesus' feet meant, but I knew this. I knew I needed more prayer and study. And so that's the direction I tried to go. I started trying to put a lot of effort into Bible study, you know, getting into the Word of God. Also, that was probably about the time I started reading quite a bit more, other books, theology, so forth, and just tried to understand God's Word and tried to understand what it means to preach God's Word. Try to get, you know, a correct, accurate view of God. To know Him. And then sometime later, and I don't remember, you know, how long it was. It seemed like it was a pretty good while. But sometime later, I was thinking that again and kind of pondering that in my head after I had gone down this path for a little while. And I came back and I looked at this again. And I read this verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. All that time I had been wondering, what does it mean to sit at Jesus' feet? It's not like I stopped everything and sat around and pondered that 24 hours a day. But I'm just saying, as I left that one form of ministry and went in a different direction, periodically I would think about that, and I would think about what I had said, and this brother, I don't know how many times I've heard him retell that story. For some reason, it just blessed his heart. And I don't know how many times I've heard him retell that story. And I would even think of it then. And what does it mean? And sometime later, like the Lord said, it's been right there all the time. It means hearing the Word. In other words, what Mary was doing It's not the posture that's significant. It's not because Mary was seated. There's not something special about that. You know, you don't have to get into a yoga stance or anything like that. Fold your legs and everything. It's a good thing, because the older I get, the more trouble I have doing that. It's not the posture. The good part that Jesus refers to down in verse 42 that Mary chose, the sitting at Jesus' feet, the important thing about that, the significant thing was hearing His Word. And that's hard to do when you're just constantly serving. It's hard to do. That's why Luke says Martha was distracted. Listen, because Jesus was speaking. Jesus was speaking. And Martha was serving. And I don't know about you, but we talk a lot about multitasking in our day, you know, within this computer age. But it's really a difficult thing for most people, probably for anybody, if we're honest about it. There are some things where you just have to focus. You just have to. And that's what Mary was doing. That's what sitting at Jesus' feet was all about. It was about focusing and hearing what Jesus was saying. Mary was a sitter. And like I say, that may not sound impressive. We think, you know, a server and a sitter, I'm more impressed with a server. Let me tell you, in relation to the Lord, when we're talking about, it's true, as Christians we all serve. We serve, we're called to serve one another. In respect to our relationship with the Lord, listen, Jesus, He said Himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. He's the server. Folks, that's an incredible thing. That's when you think about Christian distinctives. In other words, what makes us different from other religions of the world? I would say that's a pretty significant one. You find me another religion where the God serves and the people are the ones served. That's unique to Christianity. And it may sound backwards, but it's not. That's the way it has to be, because God doesn't need anything. What would we do for Him if we were going to serve Him? We're the ones in need. We're the ones that are dependent. He's independent. He has no need. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And one way He does that, I would say the primary way that He does that He serves His people, is through His Word. He speaks to us. He teaches us. So we don't need to be distracted in our relationship with the Lord trying to do things for Him. Yes, we're called to do things. We're called, and there's a sense in which you can say it's for the Lord. I mean, in other words, for example, Jesus said, you feed the hungry, you clothe the naked, you visit those in prison. If you've done it unto the least of these, He says, you've done it unto Me. So there's a sense in which when you do things for other people, you're doing it for the Lord. So we serve, but we serve other people that are in need. But when it comes to the Lord, we need to be sitters. When I go to a restaurant, I mean, if I have a good experience there, which I always hope to, I'm going to be the sitter. They're going to serve me. That's what I pay for. And nowadays, you pay dearly when you go. So that's a good experience. When they serve well and you sit well and enjoy it. In our relationship with the Lord, we're called to be sitters, because the most important thing in this life, and this is why, again, I'm saying everybody else is welcome to listen in here, but specifically to the graduates and to the college agers here, and I say this lovingly, but get it in your head now, the most important thing in this life is Jesus. Hear His Word. Sit at His feet. Listen to what He has to say. Commit yourself now to the study of the Word of God. I get so frustrated when I can't remember things that I try to remember. You know, I'll think, okay, I'm going to memorize a section of Scripture or whatever. And one reason I get so frustrated is because, like when I was in high school and stuff, that was no problem for me. I was not a good student, but one thing I could do is memorize. Man, when they said, we're going to memorize something, you know, they got my attention, because I knew, okay, this is going to be easy for me. I went to a Christian school for a while, and we had a Bible teacher for a while that would assign us verses to memorize, and he would tell us, as soon as you've got it memorized and you can quote it, then I'll let you have the rest of today or maybe even the rest of the week to just kind of goof off in class and do whatever you want while everybody else is memorizing their verse. And son, I would do it. I would do it quick, get it over with so I could goof off. And I didn't have a problem doing that. I just had a good memory. And I'm losing that. You know, that kind of happens when you get older. I don't know if it's just because you got more things to remember or what, but and that's frustrating. And it really frustrates me that I can hear somebody mention a song that I hadn't heard in 25 years, and I can spout the words off just like that. And can't remember a passage of Scripture I was trying to remember last week. What I'm saying is this: get it in you while you're young. There really is something mentally about that. I was talking to Austin Tucker, a few months back, and you know, he's always amazed me. He not just quoting Scripture, but also he loves literature, and so he'll spout off poems, and sometimes I've seen him sometimes have a little trouble remembering, but then, you know, he'll usually get it, and or he'll at least get the main thrust of it, and he'll spout it off. I don't know if y'all know, Austin Tucker started pastoring when he was 19. His first pastorate, he was 19. And anyway, we were talking about that on the phone, and he told me, he said, I'm just blessed. He said, because I spent so much time when I was a young man memorizing Scripture. Because he told me the same thing. He said, I can't remember things anymore. In other words, if he tries to remember it now, he has great difficulty. But things he memorized 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they're here. They're locked away. And so he said, I was just really blessed that I did so much Scripture memorization when I was young. Because it's there now, and I can still recall it. Get in the Word. Go with me to Psalm 86. I want to, and hold your place here. We're going to come back here. Psalm 86. Look at verse, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Psalm 86, verse 10, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Look at verse 11 again. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? Unite my heart to fear your name. You know what I think David is saying there? Don't let me be double-minded. Don't let me be distracted. Because that's a little strange, isn't it? I've only got one heart. Sounds kind of strange to try to, you know, bring something together in unity that you only have one of. But we all know, don't we, that we can be split in our devotion or in our attention. We all know, just like Martha, that we can be distracted from the things that really matter. And no doubt David was recognizing some struggling within himself in that sense. And so he prays, "God, unite my heart to fear your name." What he's saying is, give me singleness of heart. Focus. Make me be focused on you to fear your name. "And I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart." See, that's the concept there. He wants with all of his heart to be devoted to God. Without distraction. Unite my heart. Unlike Martha, who is a distracted server, and she's worried and troubled about many things while Mary sits and worships. And by the way, that is worship. Hearing the Word of God is worship. When we come to gather corporately as a church, the preaching of the Word, I believe the scriptural view, the preaching of the Word is to be central. It's the central part of our worship. So many times people talk about singing as if that were worship, and then we have, you know, we have worship and then we have preaching. No, it's all worship. Singing, the preaching, the fellowship should be, the praying, the offering. It's all worship. It's intended to be. And at the very center of it, the central part of it is the Word. Not because the preacher is important. And even if you find a preacher who's eloquent and, you know, great speaker, and he's just spellbinding, he captures your attention, good, but that's not important either. Is God speaking through him? Are you hearing the Word? Is he expounding the Word? Because there's no worship without the Word. Martha was, while Mary was worshiping, listening, Martha was troubled about many things. Worried. Troubled. Because she was distracted. She wasn't, you know, and I think about this too. I think there's Jesus, probably in the same room. It's possible there was, you know, around in another room, but probably in the same room, Jesus and Martha, and Mary's doing her thing. She had to hear him, don't you think? She had to hear him, but she probably wasn't hearing him clearly. But she wasn't, he didn't have her full attention. She was distracted. But Mary was a sitter, and Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, which means she was listening to what he was saying. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 42. Well, actually in verse 41, Jesus says to her, he answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Listen, how often could the Lord say that to us, to me? You're worried and you're troubled about many things. You're distracted. You're a server. Listen to what he says, verse 42. "But one thing is needed." You know what? He didn't need to be, which we, I know we've already covered this, but he didn't need to be served. She was the one in need. "One thing is needed," he says, "and Mary has chosen that good part." What's the good part? What's the good part? It's listening to him. Listening to his word. Let me read you another passage from Psalm. You don't have to turn there. I'll be quick about it. 119:9. And I'll just read it for you if I ever get there. 119:9. "How can a young man," and this would apply to young women as well, by the way, "how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Verse 16, the psalmist says, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." How shall a young man, how shall a young person cleanse his ways or her ways? By taking heed to God's word. That's the good part that Jesus speaks of here. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away. Let me borrow an exhortation here. From some of you may be familiar with John Piper. He's a pastor in Minneapolis, noted speaker. He often says this, and I'm going to echo it here, especially for the young folks. Don't buy into the American dream. Don't do it. Don't think that life is about education, job, retirement. Don't buy into the notion that the goal is retirement. Lots of golf, lots of fishing, lots of hunting, get an RV, travel around, fly to Europe. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. You know, one way John Piper illustrated that point in one of his sermons I was listening to, he told about a couple, two women in his church, and I can't remember the country they went to. They were both in their 80s. One of them was an RN. They went into some backwards country to preach the gospel and, you know, help people because they had experience in the medical field. While they were there, drove their car over a cliff, killed both of them. And John Piper asked the question, is this a tragedy? That's usually what we would say, isn't it? Oh, that's tragic, tragic. And he said, no, not a tragedy. He said, let me tell you what a tragedy is. And he read a story from Reader's Digest of a retired couple collecting shells on the beach in Florida. He said, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. Don't buy into the American dream. Choose the good part. Choose the Word of God. Why? Well, because there is work to do. There is serving to do. What those women were doing in that foreign land was making an effort to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. That's where our service is. Not serving Christ, serving the nations, serving the community. How? By serving the Word. That is, just like a waiter brings you your food, hopefully promptly, when you're sitting down waiting for it. Today when we went out to eat, they brought Ray the wrong food. But he said, they're not getting this back. They brought him a big hamburger steak with mushrooms and gravy on it. And he said, that ain't what I ordered, but I'm keeping that. They served, waiters, waitresses serve food. We serve the Word to people in need of salvation. But listen, that's your purpose. That's what you're here for. That's what we're all here for. But you can't do that unless you've been served first. So my exhortation for you is the same as Jesus' exhortation for Martha. Martha, he says, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. You're distracted. He doesn't say she's not a Christian. She welcomed him into her house. She loved Jesus. Jesus loved her. He loved her enough to tell her the truth. He said, Martha, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. That's worth noting as well. This good part Jesus talks about here is, can't lose it. You can lose a good job. You can lose 401k. Everybody can identify with that. Give me a witness. You can even lose education. You might just lose your mental ability down the road and lose all that stuff you put in there. You can't lose this kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I would mark that down as a promise from the Lord Himself. He says, choose the good part which will not be taken away from you. And that's one thing that makes it so good. It's permanent. Be a sitter. Sit at Jesus' feet. Hear His Word. Take it to the world. And that may be literal for some of you. Take it to your community, wherever you're at, but who knows? You may wind up in a foreign land. Wherever you are, you spend the rest of your life in Princeton, Louisiana, or you spend it somewhere in Africa or Asia or somewhere like that, sit at Jesus' feet and be served. Hear His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And I thank You for these young people here, young and the old, and the in-between. Lord, I just thank You for people that love You, want to do Your will. We do pray, especially for our graduates tonight. And we just ask, Lord, that You give them wisdom in not wasting the life that they are embarking on. Lord, may they have a burning desire to make every minute of it count for Your glory. Lord, we pray that they'll learn now at a young age to value Your Word. And learn now to sit at Your feet. Spend time in the Bible and hear what You are saying and pray. Seek Your face. Father, we pray for them what we all desire. We pray for them that You are magnified in their life, glorified. May they commit to spending their lives for Your glory. May they choose that good part. Not be worried, not be troubled, not be distracted. But rest in the assurance that it will not be taken away. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This sermon is made available through the ministry of Fillmore Baptist Church in Princeton, Louisiana. Our desire is to faithfully proclaim the message of salvation which God has provided in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. For more resources and information, please visit our website at www.fillmorebaptist.org. You may use the links there to contact us or write us at Fillmore Baptist Church, 6304 Highway 80, Princeton, Louisiana, 71067.